Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hi, Paul Dennett here. Just letting you know that Cricket Unfiltered is now on Patreon. If you are a fan of our show and would like to support us with a few dollars each month, go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered or click the link in the show notes on your podcast app.
Menas here. Our Patreon supporters will also get some pretty cool bonus content. Paul will be doing a series of cricket history podcasts.
And Menas will be doing long-form interviews with leading cricket personalities.
All of these shows, plus other bonus features, will be available exclusively to our Patreon supporters.
So if you want some great extra content, or if you just love the show and would like to help support us financially, please go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menas, and I'm joined by Jaleesa remotely because there's been a COVID outbreak in Sydney. So we're back to Zoom recordings. Jaleesa, unfortunately, I don't get I don't get to be blessed with your presence today. How are you?
Oh, I know. It's a shame for many people at the moment who aren't blessed with my presence, but I'm here in spirit.
Fantastic. Great to have you on. Paul Dennett is dialing in as well from another part of Sydney. How are you?
I'm great. I know New Zealand technically are the big high achievers, but once again, I've just shown my class, watched the cricket all the way through till the best part of 4 a.m. And I really am good at watching cricket.
Congratulations.
Can I just say I did something really good, Menas. Do you want to hear what I did?
Yes.
I printed the notes.
Fantastic.
Like even remotely.
A+.
I have to take all my
commitment is phenomenal.
Yeah, the next step is actually adding something to them.
No, I like to go off the cuff. I don't write my scripts. I just go off in my head.
Not exactly scripts. Anyway, in today's show, we're going to wrap up New Zealand's win in the World Test Championship final. Paul Dennett's going to eat some humble pie. There's a little bit of cricket. What was that?
What?
Well, you wrote off the Kiwis.
No, I didn't. Don't you listen to Cricket Unfiltered?
Oh, but you sort of didn't you say the Kiwis aren't the best team in the world?
Yeah, then the last show I ate humble pie. You gave me an opportunity to do it. And now you're asking me to do it again for no reason.
Yeah, keep eating. He's full.
I'm full.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll be eating humble pie after going for the Indians. And then we've got a little bit of cricket news. Aaron Finch made some comments about the Australians going to the IPL. I've got an exclusive story about a change in Australian cricket. And then we'll just wrap it up with Can't Let It Go. It's going to be a short show today, recording via Zoom. It's thrown things out a little bit. But look, let's get straight into it. New Zealand have won the World Test Championship. I guess, Paul, you did a cricket daily today. Just want to run us through some of the main points.
Yeah, so it began with India two down and Kohli at the crease. And it was about half an hour where not much happened. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Jamieson had one ball that rocked back into Kohli and smashed him on the thigh. And that got him playing at one, wafted at it, caught behind by Watling, and they promptly collapsed, punctuated in between by Rishabh Pant playing another exhilarating innings, his mixture of defence and charging the bowling. But as it all panned out, New Zealand needed only 139 to win. They had to work hard. India bowled really well, and Williamson and Taylor were all quality. They both finished. Williamson just got a 50 not out, Taylor in the 40s not out. New Zealand got the job done in the gathering evening. For once, it was a nice, fine day in Southampton. And so, six-day test match finished about an hour and 5 minutes after the scheduled stumps time. And after 144 years, test cricket has a champion.
Absolutely. Jaleesa, what a great story it is, isn't it? After the Kiwis cruelly lost the 50-over World Cup, this is a great boost for their cricket.
Yeah, it was an incredible finish to a test match that I think a lot of us had sort of written off in the first few days when there was that rain. Even with the reserve day, you just thought this is headed for a draw, and everyone seemed to be like quite disappointed at the way that 2 years was about to end. But Jamieson was just insane, just the way that he sort of pulled that victory out for New Zealand. And even when he got Kohli out, I was sort of sitting there thinking that Pujara could bat. You know, he can be in there all day, but he's still not going to win you the test. And then Rishabh Pant is just, he's terrifying because he's very unique in the sense of he's got something that no one else, I think, as a test batsman has got at the moment. It's just the ability to score so quickly. Like, you know, a lot of test batsmen can, you know, sit there all day and end up getting the runs, but he can do it so quickly. So when he was out, I think that was where you sort of really knew, okay, this is quite a match on here. But an incredible win by New Zealand, and I was firmly on New Zealand, so I was really happy.
Good to hear. I thought India never had a chance at winning the game. I thought it would be, you know, a very small chance that they could win on the final day. But I thought what Pant could do was just score so quickly that it put the game out of reach for the Kiwis. But they got him just as he was really getting going. And from there, well, the Kiwis stormed home. Fantastic for them. But Virat Kohli made some comments after the game. Here's a quote from him. "We are not too bothered by this result because we understand as a test side what we've done over the last 3 or 4 years, not just over the last 18 months. This is not a measure of who we are as a team." And I think he's really making the point that this is a one-off test match, and India, well, against Australia and England and plenty of other sides, have come back from losing a match in the series and then winning the series. Paul, do you think that's a fair point from Virat, or do you think sour grapes?
No, there's no sour grapes, Manners. I know you're trying to create a headline, but I think that if you look at the whole stuff of what he said, he gave credit to New Zealand, and he was saying before the test match that he favoured a three-test match final series for the World Test Championship. He's going to cop a lot of criticism from the passionate fans in India. So I think he's actually become quite a statesman for the game. And I think Test cricket is lucky to have him. And I thought he was completely fine in the way what he said.
Do you think he has a point, though, about the fact that this is a one-off test match?
He does, but that's the nature of sport, that you've got to make the choice between drama and maybe fairness. That the World Cup of soccer is the perfect example of where you really shouldn't have it as knockout games. Every other soccer league is a massive long season of where there's no actual final. It's all first past the post. If you're going to be fair, you'd have a five test match series to decide the winner, and you would then have a real person, a team that could say, yes, we deserve to be the winners, but you forsake all the drama that one test can have. I kind of tend to agree with you. I'd be quite happy with a three-test series, but you've got to admit this did have a nice finality about it, that it was done and dusted straight away in the way that most major sporting competitions do end.
What do you think, Jaleesa?
Well, I just think, first of all, when you were saying that you thought that they couldn't, the sort of the best they could do was put a win out of reach for New Zealand, I would ordinarily have said the same thing, except I kept having memories of the Gabba haunt me where we thought that that was going to be the same as well, and they did manage a win. So that's one point. But then what you were saying about Vicoli, look, I think he has a point. Like, it doesn't really reflect on your whole team, you know, over that 2 years. But at the end of the day, I think, look, the only thing that I found his comments a little bit, like, that I found that one little line a bit salty. I think in the context of everything, he was probably very gracious, but I just thought, oh, that one line's a little bit salty, probably didn't need to be said. But I also think that to have one final, I get what Paul's saying, but it's really weird to have a final where to get into that final, you've not played one test, like you've played series, and then all of a sudden the final isn't a series. I just find that really bizarre.
I guess
like you wouldn't play multiple matches. You know, you've played series, a format of series to get into the final, then why shouldn't the final be a series? And I still think that it should be a three-game series to decide the winner of the final, not a final, but it does add a nice bit of drama to it.
You mentioned Cricket Daily, Menas. Speaking to Barrett Sundaresan today, he said as an Indian fan, there was a moment when Kane Williamson was actually given out, LBW, just after he came in, and it was overturned on review. But that would have made New Zealand two out. As it turned out, they did lose another wicket quite quickly. And he said that at that point, at the moment that Williamson was given out, he still thought there was a chance that India could win. And watching it live, I thought, oh, this is going to be suddenly put a lot of pressure on the New Zealand dressing room, and there'll be a temptation to really go into their shells. So it could have even been an Indian win on the last day.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only sort of chance if New Zealand just completely capitulated in that last afternoon.
I felt like the game was anyone's the whole time. Like, sort of, I couldn't, once it sort of really got going, I thought, okay, well, this could end up, we could have a result either way.
Well, the Kiwis got the result they were desperate for. A team known for losing finals, not winning them, will manage to get over the line. It was a magic performance and a magic moment for New Zealand cricket. I mean, I wonder what this could do to cricket in New Zealand.
I wonder if we would be talking about this game in a really different context, though, had the rain ruined it, because I know it didn't bother you as much, Paul, because I follow your tweets, but it really bothered me that this was potentially going to end in a draw because of rain. It was just infuriating to me that you could come to 2 years to come to that.
Oh, it bothered me as well, because I had money on both sides, so I needed it to not be a draw. I'll get to it and can't let it go, but I think it highlights the we'll save it for them, but I've got an answer for that, but stay tuned.
Stay tuned for Can't Let It Go.
What a teaser.
I don't want to have to invent another Can't Let It Go on the spot.
Yeah, leave that to Jaleesa. So congratulations to the Kiwis. I was supporting India, but I'm glad New Zealand won. I think, though, Virat has a point that India are probably the best test side in the world at the moment, with New Zealand slightly behind them. You'd back India in all conditions ahead of New Zealand. But I think it's a little bit about conditioning, that we have to get used to this concept of having a showpiece test playoff, one game where it's all on the line. And I do think if you moved it to three test matches, you would bring in a whole other set of problems. You know, what if one was a draw? What if the series was drawn? What if weather affected it? Would you have these three tests being played over, you know, 6 or 7 days, which means you'd need lots of time to complete these three test matches? So I'm leaning towards a one-off super test like this, with maybe two reserve days next time, so that there's no chance of it really being completely washed out unless they play in Sydney.
You know, it'd be pretty cool if they had a three test series and it was always the three test matches were one at the MCG, one at Lords and one at Eden Gardens. That'd test all different types of skills, and that'd be quite cool.
I agree, yeah. Take it on tour.
Oh, by the way, Jaleesa, I've reflected on a question you asked the other week where you said that if New Zealand was playing in New Zealand, that you think New Zealand might win. And I was quite dismissive. I'm starting to come around to you. I think that maybe there is a bit of extra humble pie I do need to eat. Jameson has just floored me. I want to be Kyle Jameson so much. He's 6'8". He bats, he bowls, he's got a jaw like granite. so cool. I think that he elevates this New Zealand side from a very good side to something even better, and we'd struggle against him in New Zealand conditions. He's now got an average of 14.2 with the ball after eight tests. It's going to be hard to keep it at that level, but what a start to his career.
I think he's made the difference to this Kiwi side because, Trent Boult and Southie are great bowlers, backed up by Wagner. But when you add in Jameson to come on basically first change, it just adds so much. It's a bit like when Australia brought Cummins in and added him to the attack. It just means that there's constant pressure on the opposition batters. All right, so that's the World Test Championship final. Congratulations to our little cousins across the ditch. Hopefully Australia can win the next one. It was very disappointing that Australia weren't there, especially seeing the Kiwis. David Boone. What was that?
David Boone's fault, docking us. Yeah. It's not his fault. It's the Australian's fault for bowling slowly.
I know, but he could have. Boone, come on, mate. Boone did the right thing. We all hate slow over rates. All right, let's get on to the cricket headlines brought to you by Piccolo Podcasts. First one, Michael Vaughan wants to call off the Ashes. Michael Vaughan tweeted, "I read reports today that England cricketers may not be able to have family members with them down under this winter. Quite simply, if they can't, they should call the Ashes off. 4 months away from your family is totally unacceptable."
You're scared, Michael. You're scared.
I think Vaughan just wants to bring his family down under. That's why he's disappointed.
To be fair, I think they should allow them in. And I think that we have to get on with our vaccinations in this country. And we've done really well with the pandemic. But we can't adopt a siege mentality forever. We needed to. It is a race. We should have all been vaccinated by now. And the Ashes brings an enormous amount of money into the country. It's a tradition that's been going on since 1882, I think that it's quite fair enough to say that for the 20 or 30 family members that it would be, that they should be allowed to be in as long as they're vaccinated, and they should get a bit of special treatment.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I think that they could, as we sort of start to move a little bit to normality with vaccinations, I think it's fine to bring them in. But I don't know. I feel like Michael Vaughan was just kind of sort of lashing out for no reason here. They haven't been said that they can't bring them in yet. Like, it's sort of still all up in the air. And how many families actually come? I'm confused about that because I don't think a lot of, like, not all of the Australian families go on tour with them. Is it a different thing in England? Do a lot of their families come out? I'm a bit confused. I feel like this is a little bit of a storm in the teacup at the moment.
It's an issue that's been fraught for a long time. I remember in 1989, Alan Border made the decision, we're not having families, at least until we win the Ashes, that we've got a job to do. We're not going to have it. Back in the old days, in the 1930s, the Australian cricketers actually had to sign a contract that forbade their wives from entering the United Kingdom in the entire time that they were over there, which is just extraordinary. I think these days, more often than not, if they can, they bring them along. At least for part of the way.
Yeah, I think that this is complete crap from Vaughan. There's no way they're going to call the Ashes off. That's just never going to happen. If they did, Australia would hold the Ashes to 2023, so I'm not disappointed with that. But my understanding is that the Indian cricket team were actually in the end allowed to bring three or four families with them last summer in their big bubble for the tour. And I'm sure that Australia could give the same concessions to England. And the point is, some of these players are coming, they're saying some of these English players will come straight from the World T20 tournament in the UAE to Australia, and therefore it'll be 4 months on tour without a break. And I agree with Vaughan, there should be some effort made to get those people with their families in Australia.
Yep, for sure.
All right, the next cricket headline. Jared Waitley, the host of on SEN, said that it is inarguable that Australia's World Cup preparations have been hampered this year by the withdrawal of players from this latest tour to the West Indies, and that goes on top of the New Zealand tour earlier this year that a lot of the players were unavailable for. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think Australia's preparations are being hampered?
Yeah, definitely, but I think that it's partially the unprecedented circumstances in which we live, and it's partially that, as always, we tend to prioritise international T20 cricket below the other forms. That if we took sort of a more Indian mindset to this, we'd probably be saying, come on, guys, you've got to go on these tours now, but you can have the Ashes off. I mean, that's something that no one in Australia would think of, but the rest of the world, certainly the subcontinent, regards the T20 World Cup is much, much more important than any test series. We and England still, and I hope we always do, regard the Ashes as massive, and you just can't prioritise everything, I suppose.
What do you think, Jaleesa?
Yeah, I just think, like, we just all probably need to stop criticising everything. Like, everyone's sort of doing their best to get as much cricket going as possible, and it's just, at the moment, it's just, yeah, probably the preparation is hampered, but it is the way that the conditions at the moment. We just sort of have to grin and bear it.
Yeah, I agree. Think of whinging. Yeah, I agree. Aaron Finch made some comments on SEN radio last week saying that he thinks players can't go back to the IPL and play that second half of the IPL, taking into account the heavy workload that will come after that. And I've reflected on what Finch said, and I 100% agree with him. Australia's priority is our home summer and the Ashes. There is no way we can allow our international players to go wear themselves out at the IPL. They'll play the World T20. They'll come back and they'll have to rest in Australia because they'll be burnt out from the IPL before the World T20. I think... We have to preserve our players so that they're able to take part in our summer as much as possible.
Well, that's a pretty easy take from somebody who didn't get picked up. Like, God, yeah. It's easy for someone who put themselves up for the IPL and didn't get taken up by a club to then go, well, none of you can play now. I think it's a, I don't know, I think that's a bit of a cheap shot. I get what he's saying, but at the end of the day, they have contracts that they've committed to, and they didn't cause the pause of the IPL. There's no, they couldn't have really foreseen that. So I think it's a pretty easy to say that when you're not in the position of earning a lot of money and also having to fulfill your contract.
I think Finch makes a very good point. We don't want these players coming back. They'll come straight back into an Ashes. Maybe some of them will say, oh, can I just sit out this test against Afghanistan? I'm a bit tired. I need to freshen up for the Ashes. And then after the Ashes, I'll burnt out, completely sizzled, can't play in the Big Bash, need a break, can't tour with the Aussies, need a break. At some point, you just got to say the IPL had its chance. They stuffed it up by being so stubborn and playing it in India. Bad luck. You can't have our players.
Look, yeah, and I agree. I would probably, if I was in the privileged position of that, I probably wouldn't go back to the IPL. But you can't begrudge someone who does go back because, again, I think it's, would Finch be saying that if he had, a few $100,000 on the line at the end of the day? Like, I don't.
Yeah, he would. He would, absolutely.
You think he would?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see in that position. I think it's, I don't begrudge them. I don't begrudge anybody who does go back to the IPL. I can see why you wouldn't want to for your own sake of just having a bit of a break and knowing that you're going to be a bit more fresh. I personally couldn't think of anything worse, but if they go back to the IPL, they go back to the IPL.
What about Shane Warne and Mark Waugh said on their podcast? I don't know if you've heard, they're our competition now. It's Road to the Ashes. If you want to listen to them talk about cricket. It's pretty good. But they were saying that, you know, they think that the Australian selectors should start to maybe think about players that prioritise national cricket ahead of franchise cricket. And what do you think? That has some merit? If someone were to go back to the IPL, maybe you would, you know, maybe consider a bit more closely whether they deserve to play for Australia again?
I want to win the tournament. So I think that they should pick the best players for Australia. And I've said it many times, but there is that factor that the IPL could actually be good preparation for the World Cup, given that they're going to be in the same venues. I understand what you're saying, Menas, but I think that I really want us to win a World Cup of T20 cricket, and I place it right up there in priorities alongside the Ashes and much, much more ahead of the Big Bash or anything else. So if the Cricket Australia deems that it's in someone's interest to go to the IPL for good preparation for the World Cup, and that means that on the back end, they have to miss the test against Afghanistan and they have to miss the Big Bash, I'm fine with that if that's the decision they make, if they think it's good preparation.
Oh, yeah, disagree. I don't think the Australian players should be sitting out of matches in the Australian summer to play in the IPL. And I don't know if it's
But I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they should sit out to play in the IPL. I'm saying they should sit out to play in a valuable tournament in warm-up for the World Cup.
Yeah, but that's the IPL that you're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying I want us to win the World Cup. And if we win World Cup and at the expense of a few players missing some of the Big Bash, I'll take that every time.
Yeah, I think it's debatable whether the IPL will be great preparation for them. Perhaps getting our squad together and, you know, building some team harmony and maybe playing some practice matches together might be a better route to go than wearing them out in the IPL.
Well, that's a separate point, and it could be argued both ways. I still think that preparation in the venues that you're going to be playing at is the key, and I think things like cohesion and harmony, as someone who bets on the game, those things really don't matter that much.
I knew you'd say that. speaking of cohesion and harmony, I'll give out my exclusive story that...
It's better be good.
Yes, we've been waiting for this, Menas.
I've got it in the Channel 10 sports rundown tonight, so it better be good.
Well, the Australian cricket team was supposed to have kind of a cultural camp this weekend, which was going to be meetings run by Justin Langer, and all of the Australian players are actually going to go up for it. Even Smith and Cummins and all those players who even aren't going to the West Indies were going to go up for this cultural camp. But because of the COVID outbreak, it's been basically cancelled and they're going to have to reschedule it to later in the year. So no culture camp, no Australian cricket culture camp.
Aren't they lucky? That would have been an absolute horror.
But I know you say... I know, but after what happened with...
Steve's probably running around Bondi Junction, close contacting as many people as he can.
You're just going into Westfield without a mask on and like running around. The only thing is, you know, after the stories about Langer and the reviews came out, I actually think this would have been very valuable for the team to just get all that shit out of the way and put it behind them, get them all in a room together, get it all out, move on. So I actually think it is disappointing that they're not going to have that opportunity.
This reminds me of when corporate or companies, you know, like do the survey of like employees, like how happy are you at work? And then they realize everyone's like super unhappy for some reason. And then they're like, right, let's have a pizza party on a Friday.
I was going to say the same thing, that it's like a big corporate conference and everyone goes and endures the 6 hours of bonding exercises just to get to the bar afterwards.
Yeah, so yeah, Paul, exactly. Paul, give me a mark out of 10. How are you feeling about this podcast that we're doing right now?
Oh, this podcast, I think, you know, 9.8, 9.9.
Jaleesa?
Are we talking about this episode?
Yeah, this episode. I want to know how you're feeling. Give me a mark out of 10. It's my new cultural.
I'm giving it like a 9. I feel
a 9?
Good.
Wow.
Are you obviously hating on us, Paul? What have we done?
I'm giving it a 6.
You hate recording Zooms, and I think you come into the mentality of a Zoom just hating it.
And then ironically, can we keep the audio like that, Paul?
Higher than it.
Her being literally almost you know, illegible or inaudible saying that. That's why I hate Zoom.
Oh, this is going to be a fun edit, guys.
Yeah, Paul's thrilled about this. All right.
I like this spot. I'm happy.
Yeah. All right. I think, though, looking at this squad that's going to the West Indies, I've picked a few players that I think have an opportunity, as Trevor Hone said, to force their way into the World Cup squad. So I think Dan Christian obviously has an opportunity. I think Jason Behrendorf is a big one that could force his way into the World T20 squad. Then I think Josh Hazlewood, Moses Enriquez, and finally, I think Tanvir Sanger. He's going as a travelling reserve, but I like the idea of Australia taking a mystery spinner to the World T20 in the UAE. So, yeah, they're my sort of picks of who could jump out of this squad to the West Indies into the sort of World T20 squad. Have you got anyone in mind?
I agree with those, and I'd also add Ashton Turner. If he could have a big tour, then I could see him catapulting back into the squad as well.
Jaleesa, you printed the notes out, so you got the squad in front of you.
I've got no valuable thoughts, to be honest, that if you guys haven't said.
Good, I like that. I'll give that comment a 9 out of 10. all right, now moving on, last couple of bits of headlines before Can't Let It Go. It's going to be a short show, although I do want to answer a viewer that sent me something, actually, in viewer mail or some tweets. Just the Aussies overseas, Usman Khawaja made a century for Islamabad last week. And he made a 70 in a playoff game for Islamabad United. So I think Usman Khawaja, not only is he good, is good form, but I think he might become a very, very valuable commodity in T20 leagues around the world, because he's probably not going to get back into the Aussie team, but he's still a very good player. Josh Inglis, the WA wicketkeeper batsman, hit a wonderful century in the Vitality T20 Blast in the last week. That's his first T20 ton. And I want Josh Inglis to be the next keeper for Australia. I think that as much as I like Carey, Inglis is just a far better player. And
Maxwell for me, Maxwell.
Maxwell keeper, batsman.
I'm sure he'd be a better keeper than all of them.
No, but then he wouldn't be able to bowl.
That'd be a second over.
All right. And reports from cricket.com.au that soon the contracting embargo will lift in the Big Bash and an announcement will be made about the international draft. So that's a pretty big one, because I'd love to see an international draft come into the competition. And I think we need it.
Great idea. Just a huge talking point as well. It keeps the sport in the headlines for that little bit longer.
Absolutely. What do you think, Jaleesa? Would you like to see an international draft?
Yeah, for sure. I love watching the IPL. I'd find the whole thing quite fascinating, and I think it would create a lot more excitement around who's going to be in, who's going to be out. It'd be interesting. I can't believe we're already talking about the Big Bash. It'd be interesting to see how it all sort of pans out this year, given all the disruption there was last year with COVID and then Channel 7. And I just wonder if we're going to see the same, because no doubt it will still be impacted in some way by COVID. And I just wonder if it's if that's all going to flare up again.
Yep. Well, as you both know, we're in the middle of a flare up in Sydney, so you just never know. Good luck being a sports administrator right now. Could they do a thing like do vaccinations as you enter a Big Bash game, just to hurry up this process?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just am not eligible, so I would be going to get one at a Big Bash game, at a soccer game, at any damn game you want. I'm just not eligible.
Yeah, Paul and I are eligible because we're a lot older.
Lucky.
All right. That were the cricket headlines. We'll take a quick break. Then we'll be back with viewer mail and Can't Let It Go. Welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menes. I'm with Jaleesa and Paul, and it's end of the show. We've got viewer mail and Can't Let It Go. Now, I got a tweet from Fred1971. And this is what he wrote. Menes, I'm a couple of weeks behind, but have just listened to your Cricket Daily podcast where you discuss Ollie Robinson. When he wrote those tweets, he was old enough to drive, marry, vote, drink, and at no point did you consider any victims' harms. I'll park that there. And I wrote back, I think you must have misconstrued my point. His tweets were awful. I agree that he deserves punishment, but I'm also sympathetic. And then he wrote back criticizing Simon Mann and Simon Hughes for their podcast. But I think we were pretty measured in our comments around Ollie Robinson. If Fred misunderstood, I was never endorsing Robinson's comments at all. But I just had some sympathy for, you know, someone making the test taboo, and that is the time those tweets are released. That is all. The tweets are abhorrent.
I don't think there could be any way that you can't see that all of us were saying that we don't condone those tweets. I don't think it's worth getting into an argument over, because I think we're all on the same page that the tweets were abhorrent. I don't know what you said on Cricket Daily. I didn't hear that, but I know that what you said on Cricket Unfiltered, I agreed with that. The tweets are abhorrent. It's sad that he ever wrote them. Perhaps he's not the same person today.
Yeah. I also don't think saying he was old enough to drive, marry, vote and drink is a really good response. Does that mean at that age you can't make a mistake because you can hold a driver's license?
As long as that's not who the values that he holds today, and he's had a punishment, he's paid the price for that as he should, and it would be really horrific if someone had wrote those today, then
on the same point, I was reading an article about Megan Shute yesterday, who was a guest on Men's Masterclass recently, and she put out a post.
That was my Can't Let It Go. You're ruining things.
Well, we'll get to that. Well, let's get on to Can't Let It Go, because that's viewer mail. Not much needs to be said there, but Fred, obviously I'm very sympathetic to the victims. They were disgraceful comments, but I think not all issues are just black and white. All right, Jaleesa, what's your Can't Let It Go? I think I know what it is.
Myself.
We can't hear you, Jaleesa. All right. Well, Paul, what's your Can't Let It Go for this week?
Jaleesa touched on it earlier, but I was very puzzled during the test match when the days were rained off at the level of anger towards the weather that was coming out of India. And it suddenly hit me the reason. I think it's because India has the monsoon and they have a defined rainy season and a defined dry season. But their experience is that if you schedule a cricket game on during the dry season, it'll probably be fine. And so I think some of them have probably thought England have had the temerity to schedule the cricket during their wet season. And what they haven't realised is that England's wet season lasts for 365 days of the year. Exactly. It's the same in Australia, that Sydney gets roughly even rain throughout the year, whereas Perth and other places get no rain in the summer, so they can't understand why the SCG test match is so often rain affected. But there are so many of them saying you shouldn't schedule such an important game for a place where this could happen. And I'd say, well, if that's the case, that means that England can never have the World Test Championship final, nor can Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, and New Zealand for that matter, and plenty of other places as well. It's ironic that Hampshire, where the game was played, that's where cricket began 500 years ago, the first recordings of cricket are in southeast England, in that Hampshire part of the world. So
in Hambledon, I've been to Hambledon Cricket Club, Paul.
Yes, exactly. I've never been there, but I'd love to visit. So I think it was a very appropriate spot, given that Lords couldn't be used because of the pandemic, that and Hampshire has the, and the Southampton has the hotel on the ground. So I'm very pleased that in the end we did get a result, and that Hampshire was a worthy place to host the first ever World Test Championship of the sport that they kind of invented half a millennium ago.
I actually went to Hambledon for a charity match in the mid-90s and got to see Derek Underwood bowling. He must have been in his late 40s, early 50s then, bowling to Desmond Haynes and some great West Indian players who were playing in the charity game. And it's a lovely part of the world, beautiful little pub across the road from the ground. And Derek Underwood, terrific bowler. When Ian Chappell... When Greg Chappell was on Men's Masterclass, he said Derek was one of the best bowlers he faced, and certainly concur. All right, my Can't Let It Go is that the Vitality T20 Blast is an awful competition for the fans. It is. I can see why the 100 has come in. The Blast is just terrible. If you're a cricket fan in England, there's no way you could follow it. There's so many games. It is basically like a glorified grade T20 competition that we have in Sydney. And I just think that the 100 cannot come quickly enough. The Blast, lovely cricket. You know, it's nice to watch because it's in those small grounds, but awful competition for fans. Anybody in England that has resisted the urge to get on board with the 100, honestly, get off your ass and start supporting the 100, because English cricket needs it. The Blast is awful.
I agree. Doing cricket daily, I've paid more attention to the Blast than I ever had before. And I agree with you. It does look like a fun competition, and it is nice, and it does a nice job. But it's 133 games. It's got no cut through to the wider population. If cricket's to thrive in England, then it needs the 100. And if you don't like it, then challenge yourself to get on board, because I think in the years to come, lots of people now who don't like it will like it, just as we were with the Big Bash a few years back.
All right, Jaleesa, are you still there? No, we've lost her. All right, well, I'll just... Jaleesa's Can't Let It Go is what a wonderful host Manners is of Cricket Unfiltered. So that's really nice. She sent me a message. She said she loves working with me. She looks forward to it every week. And it's the highlight of her week being on Cricket Unfiltered. So really nice sentiments there from Jaleesa. Shame she couldn't say them herself, but I have the pleasure of passing them on. And look, I agree, Jaleesa. It is fantastic working with you every week. And obviously, Paul and I are very talented, so it must be really good for you to, you know, you're in that professional environment with so-called professional broadcasters, but then you come along and join the best cricket podcast in Australia. So, yeah, really good Can't Let It Go, Jaleesa. And what, cricket is still your favourite sport, much more than NRL. Another good Can't Let It Go. Thank you. Well, Paul, you're supposed to go away next week, but is this COVID pandemic scuppered those plans, or are you still doing it?
Hanging by a thread at this stage. I've been ensconced in cricket all morning, and I've not really kept up to date with what's going on, but I'll touch base with the family this afternoon and we'll make a decision. But I'd say at this stage it's about 50-50. Hopefully we can get away, because it was going to be fun.
Yeah, well, either way, Cricket Unfiltered is going to take a break next week. I think it's an appropriate time, regardless of whether Paul goes away or not, just while we can't be in the same room together, we'll just sit back, relax, enjoy the Kiwis' victory, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another Cricket Unfiltered.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Bye, Jaleesa. I thought the last bit, Jaleesa, was outstanding, and you can leave that in.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.